Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Rogue from X-Men. She was gay.
She was, yeah, she was representative of something queer as fuck, for
well,
sure.
Well, I read this somewhere. Don't quote me because I don't know where I read it, but it made a lot of sense at the time that Rogue was kind of like an allegory of like the AIDS epidemic in the 80s because no one really had any information on it. All they knew back in the 80s was that people were getting sick and they didn't know how they were contracting it. So they just assumed that like Rogue, kind of her power is in basically
touching someone.
So she had to walk around with gloves and be like, everyone was scared. She was scared of everyone. She couldn't have emotional intimacy because of it. She couldn't have intimacy, period. Physical, anything. Anything she ever tried to do, it was like almost impossible for her to like feel love because of that, because of her disease.
That's so fucking deep. And then side note, Anna Paquin, who played Rogue in the movies, is bi, and she's open about it and like no shame. What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona?
Just, you know, fucking still drinking.
Still I had drinking. To stop because I want to be kind of sober about our superheroes.
Okay. And then Cordarian's here for the moment. You guys might recall him from the Cabrones y Chingones.
From the RuPaul episode.
Right.
I was the one disagreeing with everything.
Yes. But we brought him in because he also is like a big superhero comic book guy. And that's what our episode is going to be centering.
Yeah, he told me, I think me and him used to talk about Legend of Korra a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And like I've been like trying so hard to get him to watch Runaways, and I want him to watch Black Lightning because I'm obsessed.
I have not, and I heard so many good things about like Black Lightning, but it's just like the struggle for me to pick up and watch TV is hard. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my god, you're just like me. I can't watch shit.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I was really excited whenever Black Lightning, because Black Lightning is not getting the buzz that it deserves, by the way. But
we know why.
I'm not surprised.
Black Lightning was the first Black character, at least in the Marvel Universe, to get his own solo series.
Well,
DC.
Yeah, DC.
DC, fuck.
Yeah, because that would be Luke Cage and Marvel and then Black Panther, and then they had all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. No, but not the first Black character, but the first one to get a solo series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but also major, you know what I mean?
And he's like a real, like, his character, at least like what he can do is pretty legit. Like, he's a really, really smart guy, super athletic, and he also has, like, powers. He always sounds great on paper, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've seen bits and parts of, like, the first episode. I know they were in a club at one point. I know that, like, it seems like it's very kind of, like, this place in, like, the hood.
Yeah,
it seems like it's, like, a realistic interpretation of...
Yeah. The first couple of episodes are really... Or the first episode really centered, like, police brutality and our current situation in the world, and then put these superheroes within that context.
Yeah, I mean, because if we had mutants now, they're still going to go through the same shit.
It's yeah. they're going to be like, Superman's great, and then Black Lightning comes around, they're going to be like, oh, he's trouble, he's bad. Like, they bring that up in the show. So, I mean, we're going to talk about Lightning, like, probably once the season is over. But it's so important to have these diverse superheroes out there. Fucking America Chavez and Iceman both got canceled. God.
That's bullshit.
Their characters got canceled?
Their solo series did.
Oh,
the comics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they were both written by queer actual people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm pissed.
And you said Iceman, too?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of Iceman, they made him gay recently, right?
That was a recent thing. That's another thing I kind of want to talk about, and that relates to Runaways. There's a lot of people out there that have problems with characters that were canonically straight changing to canonically queer.
They weren't that straight, though.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like...
Like, even in the comic book, they're always hinting... But I guess because they didn't want to actually... It makes stories more long and drawn out and the series more dramatic if you do it, but...
I love me some slow burn.
It was definitely going to be a slow burn that never got finished, but they even in the actual comic book for the Runaways, like, Nico and Carolina always have a thing going
Carolina
on, but it's just not on the
comic. Obviously interested. Carolina's always interested.
I think there's one thing important to mention is that a lot of these characters in Marvel, especially the X-Men, were made because of things like discrimination and people who are marginalized. Yes. That's what the whole influence, like they were influenced in making those people. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, that were mutants. Because instead of it being mutants, you know, they're in this, I guess in this universe, it's like they're being discriminated from being different because they have powers. But it's kind of aligns with real life how
they're a metaphor.
Are, yeah, it's a metaphor. People are discriminated for being like gay or a certain type of race or something.
Right. So exactly. Yeah, mutant was always code word for like queer or POC or both.
Yeah.
Or both.
And that's where we all found ourselves as being both queer and POC. So fuck, I love Rogue. Like, she means so much to me.
I never saw her that way, so I'm glad that you brought it up to me. I was more recently into it, like America Chavez, Renee Montoya, now Anissa on Black Lightning. They have the first
on screen, right?
She's openly gay, has a girlfriend by like or in episode two.
She's the one that's like kneeing people in the nuts and stuff. Is that the one? Cause I've been seeing like she's people.
What? Oh yeah.
She's like I've seen her like, beating people up. I don't know why. But
that's the younger sister. Oh, that, okay. Like, yeah. Okay. But the younger sister's a badass bitch too. She's and I love that they don't like try like they don't try to make these like very white, you know, white acting characters. They don't do that. Not that you can act a certain race, but like they don't try to whitewash them.
I understand. It's kind of like they bring some real because like, there's been people I've seen on TV who are like POCs, but it's kind of like that character like that barely. You're playing.
Yeah,
it's not really
right.
White.
That ain't you, girl.
You know what I mean? Like, not to say that there's not people actually like that, but culture definitely has an impact on people.
And, yeah.
You know, it's not, I don't see it come through as much as
right. I would like. Whereas Anissa with her younger sister, she's just like, girl, what the fuck is you doing? You know what I mean? Like, she's
It feels like a normal, like a realistic relationship.
It feels really real. Yeah. And I like that they don't shy away from it. They're not trying to appease some white people in this show. This is becoming a Black Lightning representation like episode, but
lit as fuck. That's good.
It's good. Like, start watching it. It's barely in its first 2-3 episodes. But yeah, I love that comic books, you know, even though it's more recent that they've been out, but they've always been at least a metaphor.
Well, I guess I have a question though. So mm-hmm. How do you feel about people who are characters who have been portrayed to be straight originally, but then they made them gay?
In like a new run of the series?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it because what I've noticed, especially now with Iceman and America Chavez, is that when you try to do something original with an original character who's queer, they don't get the attention that they deserve. They don't make it. But if you do it with a character that was existing, they're going to get attention. They're more likely to make it. You know what I mean? That's my main argument.
That's a good point, because I was going to say like how I wish that they did make new characters. I guess there
are so many out there. We just don't pay attention.
Yeah, but see, I think part of it, to me at least, I feel like it also is kind of like the design of the character too. Even though they're not going to, let's be honest, there's not going to be people paying attention to it. But I feel like the design is also really important.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, honestly, let's take America Chavez and Iceman as a lesson. They were a part of a major comics company, Marvel. There are smaller companies. There's Image. There's fucking Dark Horse Comics. Like, let's pay attention to these smaller characters because there are some there's trans representation that I've written about for Pop Nerd TV in comics. There's a bunch of stuff that we never pay attention to just because they're more indie companies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they already exist, but
they're there.
Yeah.
And some of them will be the best stories. Like,
really the good mainstream stories, is overrated. Man. It is, and it sucks that they're the ones who then get contracts with big networks and get them made into live action series.
Yeah, well, live action, low budget series.
I could go make that in my
like
backyard.
That's
funded.
Yeah, it's funded.
So is Runaways, you know.
But they're not giving it. It's like, you know, they're not
getting a share of the advertisement.
Correctly. Yeah.
I remember somebody said Supergirl looks like she's flying like a mosquito. I always thought that I was.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
I mean, honestly, Supergirl has been pissing me off, so don't even give them money. I don't care.
I've seen like a I have never sat down and watched her, even though I like the character. Mm-hmm. It was this the show was just corny to me.
Yeah, it's a struggle show for sure.
I could never get into it other than like shipping Supercourt.
super, oh god, don't even get me started.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, and then I stopped when you told me why.
Dude, then The Legend of Korra, like, oh, I know we've already talked about it on the Legend of Firefly episode.
The backlash that Korra had just being like a female avatar off the rip, because I've seen a lot of people make comments about how they always compared her to Aang. I was like, you have to remember she's a different person for one.
Right, and she's like new age.
It's kind of like,
and she's already a teenager, whereas Aang was like a pre-teen, kid.
Who had to get it done like this? Like, she had time.
Because she was more of a political figure whenever she kind of came into being the Avatar. Because she was like, you know, everybody already knew about it. It was very much kind of like, and it kind of held her captive in a way. Mm-hmm. So she like rebelled because she couldn't get, she was like, I can't fucking breathe because y'all are all on my dick. Like, let me like go and explore the world. Like, I'm not supposed to be trapped here.
Right. And then she suffered from depression in the show. I love that they had that in there.
How she has PTSD. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, she like had to, she had to hide away and she had to deal with it. And she had that privilege to have that time.
She almost died like every season, and that shit takes a toll. Even like, well, I'm fucking tired of getting attacked. Like, yeah. So like it I imagine it like does
get it was a good parallel.
It was way darker than like the Aang storyline. Yeah, people were dying. I was like, whoa.
Oh yeah, the bloodbenders. Ooh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I thought that it was great to bring up because it's great to see things that happen in reality
portrayed in such a not only a cartoon but in like a magical way.
Yeah, because it would be the same if it was true.
I loved it. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what other ones.
I lost my shit when she was gay. Like when she came out. Oh my god! Yeah. First of all, like y'all should.
I saw it coming because they had her blushing every time like homegirl was around her. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, what? Okay, I see you.
And there was a backlash to that too.
Oh,
not only from people who are like anti-queer, but from queer people who are like, really, that's kind of a cop out to do it at the very last literal minute.
Maybe go ahead. Oh, I was gonna say just because it was on. First of all, did y'all know they kind of banned it from? They didn't ban it from Nickelodeon, but they took it off
for the last season and put it only online because of the sensitive topics.
Yeah, and that's the reason why they couldn't do it outright because.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's like a barrier between being openly gay and portraying something to children because of how people feel about gayness,
mm-hmm. which is changing recently on Disney, at least.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon needs to catch up. Nickelodeon used to be the good one. But okay. I understand it, but I still think it's kind of a cop out.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't see it as a cop out because like I see everything through a queer lens. Like me and like, I don't know, 20,000 people on Tumblr were like, did you see that though? Yeah, I saw that. Like it was the first time like me and my conspiracy people were like, right.
Well, because it's like if they would have made her gay at the beginning,
no, not probably, the beginning. I wanted to see it.
Well, like, I mean, no, not the progression. I'm talking about the beginning of that particular season.
Oh yes, exactly.
Then it would have probably not have been funded to begin with.
Very true.
I think it. I mean, they had already taken it off of Nickelodeon. These creators already knew that they were talking about stuff that was too sensitive for Nickelodeon. So
they should have put it on Cartoon Network because Cartoon Network don't give a fuck. They'll put anything on
those animes that Adult Swim.
Yeah, put it on Adult Swim. We need to see some blood and cussing in there anyway. It'll make it more real. Right. I always like a nice cussing.
I mean, let's get real. Most people are watching like fucking Legend of Korra or like people who are already like watched like who Aang. Grew up so with we Aang. Grew up, so then we just kept watching it. Mm-hmm. Like it was all us 20-something years old watching that shit. So they might as well.
Yeah.
They might as well make it an anime because a lot of anime is pretty adult, like it's pretty dark. They push a lot of concepts that probably can make someone uncomfortable if they're not like comfortable,
if they're not fucking woke,
if they're not woke or comfortable in their identity.
Wasn't there a lot of POC and like Latinx people working on Legend of Korra?
That I'm not sure of.
I thought there was like at least two.
Cause that's a lot.
That's a lot. Okay, that's already.
I mean, someone did that last season right, so. When she came back from her, like, depression and PTSD thing, and she came back, she was, like, for sure, like, had feelings for...
It was a great season.
Asami.
It was, like, it was feminism because you have, like, the Kavera, because she fought a female antagonist that season, and she was doing something that she thought that she needed to do because she felt like this was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, you know, it was, like... talking about women trying to, I guess, fight for somebody they believe in and being strong, powerful characters as well as talking about gayness.
Yes. Yeah. It felt like the whole season felt very queer within itself just because of what they were deciding to showcase that season. Like everything he just said, that's like, what the fuck? No one
gets. I have to rewatch it through that lens because I've only seen it once around and it was with me not expecting a Nickelodeon show to go there.
Yeah, because with me, when I like something, I watch it like 20,000 times.
And one at a time for me, I get it.
I analyze, I'm just like, did y'all know about this? Like, and then
did you know?
Like, Asami was actually based off of another character in a series called Full Metal Alchemist, who was called Lust.
Okay.
Yes, which is also a really deep show, if y'all want.
It's a great show.
It's a pretty great show.
Love it. They based it
off of her. Being like, the creators was just like, this bitch is awesome. Let's make her again.
Those are the best ones. The best iterations of, like, characters, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Runaways began production at the beginning of 2017, and it started airing on Hulu in November. They released, like, 3 episodes, like, in one night. And then they did weekly releases after that. It was created by Josh Schwartz and Stephanie Savage. Savage's book.
Same people who made the OC.
It was supposed to go into production actually several years ago, and it was going to be a movie, but then the Avengers became a thing and they kind of put all their money and time into that whole series, you know, like fucking Iron Man and Thor and all of them.
The popular ones.
Right. So Runaways took the back burner, but obviously, you know, it was good enough for Hulu. So they started creating it for Hulu and they made a few changes. Mainly the unlike the comic series, the first season is like over an extended period of time, but what they mainly based it on Runaways, like a 2003-2004 volume 1 series that they did.
Yeah.
Which was based on, like, that whole series, like 6 issues were all took place over one night, whereas
that was one night,
6 issues in about one, like, 24 hour period.
That's awesome.
And in the show, it's several days, several weeks, possibly. But it's still, like, very similar. Like, they still kind of accomplished the same thing that those 6 issues accomplished. Yeah, because everybody made the joke, like, oh, they're not even, they haven't run away. Like, none of them are runaways. Why is it called Runaways?
We find out, though.
But at the very beginning of the season, the Runaways are actually, you know, kids that run away from their homes, not them, not the main characters, but other runaways who get picked up by these, like, religious people from the Church of Geborim, which is a very, like, Scientology, like, esque type of church. And it ties into the series in a certain way, in the comic series, I should say. It's a good 6 issues, those first 3. I would read it.
I was thinking it was called Runaways because they were running away from some type of danger.
They do at the end, spoiler alert.
I wasn't thinking like they were like, I mean, abandoned, I imagine that was probably, or run away from home. I was like, okay, I wouldn't be surprised, but I was thinking it was run away from some type of.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think this is spoiling it very much, but Runaways is called that because, like I said, they do eventually run away, and it's because they have a very strong suspicion that their parents are evil. You know what I mean?
Which is correct.
Well,
and then not.
It's a little ambiguous.
It's complicated.
It's complicated both in the comic series and on the show. It's like they think that they're doing what's right. On the outside, it looks really fucking bad.
But, like, that's the thing. Everyone thinks they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it so fucking, like, great.
Complex and shit, yeah.
I mean, but because that's the truth. Like, I mean, when people go to war, each side think they're doing what is right.
Yeah. Of course, they're going to go out there like, I'm fighting for my country. But they're really doing some shit that some dude probably paid a lot of money
inhumane
for.
Inhumane is pretty relative, unfortunately.
Yeah, that is. It's pretty fucked up.
I think they kind of, the comic series was very obviously trying to just reel in, you know, rebellious teenagers. They're like, oh, our parents are evil, because everybody thinks that way of their parents at one point in their life. They're like, man, my parents suck.
If I ever had kids, I'd be like, bro, look, I was your age. You're going to get to my age. Listen to what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah, you're just going through puberty and you're stupid. Yeah. But they kind of, like, the TV series gets, like, a makeover to where not, like, non-teenagers can relate to this and enjoy this. To a point, at least. So that's, like, don't expect it to be this, like, shitty, oh, Smallville, my moms don't get me. Like, no. It's not like that. It's actually pretty good.
Smallville was like cool for what it was at the time.
I loved Smallville.
But as I got older, I was like, this shit was really... It was like Degrassi with superpowers.
It's back when TV wasn't well funded.
Yeah, I mean, it was just horribly written.
Yeah.
Very, not my problems.
Right. So they do layer on a lot more, like, conflict, because what's in the comic series is not going to be enough to have a full-fledged 10, or it was a 10, yeah, 10 episode series. So they add in layers of conflict within the six major characters. The series begins with Alex, who I guess is kind of like a self-proclaimed leader because he's very strategic. That I guess he's somehow learned that from video games.
Really smart.
But he's like the unifier. He's the reason they even kept hanging out.
Right.
Video
he's,
games will make you really smart.
He's the one that's putting forth the in the TV series, the one that puts forth the effort. He's like, let's get back together, guys. And everybody's like, fuck you, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
In the series, which kind of changes, is that one of the main reasons that he wants to get everybody back together again is because he wants to talk to Nico.
He's trying to holla at old girl. He's mm-hmm. like, hey, I see you.
And Nico is going through her own shit with her family, with her sister who's no longer around, which is
she's missing, right?
No, she's dead.
They say she's dead?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a funeral scene.
I don't remember it. Are
they gonna pull up Pretty Little Liars when they're like,
she comes back as a twin? No. Well, Nico's having a sister period is brand new. That's there's nothing about that in the comic series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she has a sister who passed away and is a really weird death. Like, it was mysterious, you know, like people don't, they're like
quite
a little, they're a little, you know, suspicious about it. So, and she used to be a part of their group, of the six kids group. And then
so they grew up together or something?
Yeah. So yeah. All the parents, they're a part of this like team that they call it themselves the Pride.
They're like a non-profit organization, supposedly.
They're charitable. Like, all they do is donate money.
It's like all these parents are part of this Scientology-esque place.
Not necessarily. No. They're just like part of a non-profit with like the super rich, super smart elite of like LA.
Yeah. So this is like, oh, Beverly Hills, like,
but they're part of it for a particular reason.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
each of them were selected.
They mm-hmm. work under the guise of a charitable organization, and they call themselves the Pride, which I, you know, I guess I try to base it off of like
a group of lions
is called a pride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, whatever. The point is that they're all like vicious,
they're fucking lions,
and smart, and quite a few of them have kind of like not powers, but they have abilities or whatever. Yeah, we'll get into that a little later.
They're like skilled in some
right respect. they have there's a reason that they're in Pride, to say the least. So yeah, Nico is one of the kids, and she's an Asian American character who is very goth oh. style.
I love that that's like not in, and they totally made her goth, because like,
no, that's in the comic series.
No, I'm saying like,
okay, not in style.
That's not in style, but I love that they stay true to that part. Because
oh yeah,
that's
she's
still
hard,
a
like
thing.
We're all
people
black.
Are goth, and mm-hmm. like I like that they made her like a cool ass Asian goth girl. Like, it's lit.
Yeah,
there's some cute goth fashion.
Right.
I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's pretty to look at.
I would be inspired.
Mm-hmm.
So she, she is dealing with her own emotions about how she's dealing with the loss of her sister and
her parents being like completely emotionally unavailable to her
and really fucking weird,
yeah,
about
weird.
The whole situation, because like I said, it's kind of mysterious what's going on with her
like
sister.
They don't talk to her. I'm like, yo, your sister died, you're just gonna ignore the fuck out of each other the whole time?
Well, because the parents are grieving too, technically.
Yeah, in their own fucked up ways.
Yeah.
So they're just like, oh, your sister died, so
let's never talk about it. Yeah.
Well, I think Nico also,
Nico's the one that needed like an emotional something.
Oh sure, but Nico also looking, right? Doesn't want to talk to her parents. She's like, fuck you.
Well, yeah.
Oh, does she feel like they have something to do with it?
Yeah.
Well, later in later in the season, she does. She finds them suspicious.
If we're spoiling, like, fast forward like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We haven't gotten too bad yet. I'll have a cutoff point where we're gonna get really spoilery. Actually, you know, this is going to be the cutout point. Go watch the show. It's really fucking good. And then come back to this episode. We're about to spoil it kind of bad. And don't forget to follow us at CYC Podcast.
Rate and review and subscribe.
All that shit. Come back to this episode. So Nico ends up, you know, whatever, coming back to the team, and everybody comes back to the team. One of the other characters that's really important is, like I mentioned earlier, Carolina, whose mom runs that church of Gaborum. Mm-hmm. And they kind of parallel her internal struggles with her other internal struggles, where she starts to suspect, like, her mom is involved in a weird Scientology-esque organization. I mean, she is, yeah. Basically a very, like, cult-esque thing.
I mean, the name of it is very strange.
Uh-huh. And so she also is struggling because she... And they don't make this, like, super known, but you can tell she's struggling because she's a lesbian. Mm. And she's, like, super into Nico, just like Alex is.
Okay, but I love how, like, you can kind of tell there was something surfacing there between them. Like, you know, in the intro of the very first episode, everyone's looking at the person they're probably going to hook up with. And, you know how Alex looks at Nico, and then it cuts to Carolina also looking at Nico.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, is this what we doing? I like this already. Because, like, everyone was looking at each other like, you know, the person that they liked. Like, Gert looked at Chase. Chase looked at Carolina. Carolina looked at Nico.
Nico and Alex looked at each other, I guess.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. I like that Nico's very, like, nonchalant about it. Like, she never really expresses that she likes Alex or Carolina, you know what I mean? She has her own shit going on. But both Carolina and Alex are both very obviously interested in Nico.
And you can tell that Nico feels both of it.
She's just like, I don't know what to
do. There was that scene where she was like kissing. Okay, spoiler, duh. She's like making out with Alex, and then Carolina walks in and she like looks like she feels guilty.
She's like, fuck, I got caught in that.
She's like, oh my god, I got caught. But like, honestly, if you don't have any feelings, you'd be like, hey girl, what's up? You'd be embarrassed, but you wouldn't look at her like guilty.
It may be like because she knows like that she likes her type of thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
So yeah, like, she's just kind of like, oh, like, we haven't had this conversation about how I'm a friend zone your ass, so, you know, this is...
That's what I was thinking. She never
really did. Yeah, she never really did friend zone her, though.
That's the thing where...
Their relationship was never friend zone.
If you don't like someone, it's probably going to be a little hard for you to, like, explain that to someone when they really, really like you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. She never, like, rejects either one of them. But what I really...
Is she kind of giving gay vibes?
Nico?
Uh-huh.
Like I said, she's so nonchalant about everything. She, like, the only thing she gets really emotional about is her sister.
Yeah. Nothing else seems to be, like, she's not having, like, an internal conflict about whether she likes girls or not. She's just like, my sister died. I don't really give a fuck about that. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's...
And that's reasonable.
I think that's understandable. Yeah. I think that's great, too, because, first of all, I'm just so tired of... I guess I'm looking for gay characters that are just going to be gay. It's not, like, the whole topic of their whole story.
Well, that's the cool thing too. Like, yes, Carolina's having this internal struggle, but it's not at the forefront of her story. She has a lot of other stuff that's more important.
Bigger fish to fry. Okay.
She seriously.
I'm just looking for like the characters. Just like, I'm gay and it's not a big deal.
They don't even say it. It's like
no. Well, she's just like, I like Nico.
She doesn't even say that. Like,
it's just implied.
Like, yeah, you just know that she loves her, and like, right. Carolina just like knows she's in love with Nico, mm-hmm. and there was no like, she didn't have like a conflict either. She was just like, oh, yeah. I like her.
There was never like, oh no, I'm gay. By the way,
she was just like, oh, cool.
The only one that
I'm
kinda...
an alien, and I light up like a pride flag. Like, I think that
Carolina's
was
alien?
She's
Carolina
an alien.
Is an alien who's literally a
Does
fucking.
She, not know?
She is a
she
pride flag.
Out.
Her superpower is that she turns into a fucking rainbow.
Well, she also can fly, and she, like, her power is kind of, like, light-based.
Okay.
So she can kind of, like, use it against people.
Like, it's, like,
right, like, she can, like, yeah, exactly.
But come on, she's a rainbow.
But she sparkles and flies and stuff like that.
That's a great way to...
Like, a rainbow and
she's like
gay?
A perfect gay superhero.
That's a cool way of doing that.
Goals. Like, she doesn't even have to say it. She's just like, hey, rainbow. but... Which the one person that kind of does bring it up, Carolina doesn't bring it up, Nico doesn't bring it up, nobody brings it up except for Gert. But Gert...
Oh my god, Gert?
She's like a social justice warrior queen.
You think
she
would
be
like... You think she'd be the queer one?
Yeah, like, honestly, she has purple hair, she's nerdy, she has glasses. She's played by Ariella Barrera, who is Latina Twilight on One Day at a Time.
Who we shipped with the actual queer character on there. And in real life, she is queer.
In real life, she's recently out. She's fucking awesome. Like, all around. I really love Ariella.
Gert is, like, my favorite character besides Carolina.
I don't like the character yet.
You don't like Gert?
I don't dislike her either.
I love Gert.
But what I do like is that Marvel, you know, already had a semi-diverse cast to work with in the series. Because in the comic series, Nico's Asian. Molly Hernandez is a Latina. You know what I mean? Like, and Carolina's queer. But they went ahead and changed Gert to a Latina as well.
Fuck yeah, I loved it.
So, like, they didn't have to do that. And then Nico in the comic series originally wasn't gay or queer at all.
Oh, her name is Gertrude.
Until recently she came out.
Like, in the later episodes of the comic book, they hinted at, like... That's what I'm saying. I'm like, they never made it canonically queer.
They just did.
Yeah, but before the series, like, it was kind of just, like, majorly implied that something happened off comic book, you know, like, off screen between them.
It's basically left up to interpretation, though.
Yeah, but I think maybe they're doing that because they didn't want to push the queer storyline because maybe it wasn't as poppin'.
But Carolina was always very obviously into Nico.
And Nico, obviously, there was things she didn't talk about. During the con, everything was subtext.
Nico
everything
did.
Was subtext between them. Like, everything they said was, like, loaded and coded. I was like, girl, what do you mean? Like, what happened between y'all? Like, please, just someone tell me. Someone write this shit in.
But Nico's character in the previous comic series did say, "I'm straight." So,
but she literally made out with everyone.
In the previous series.
Yeah, in the comic book, it talks about how she made out with Carolina too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, no, dude. Like, she's made out with everyone. They asked her, like...
I'm going to have to fact check that.
Who's the best kisser? And she's like, oh, yeah, Carolina is. And, like, everyone was like, wait, what? You kissed everybody? Like...
I'll have to look into that, but...
Well, I mean, that doesn't sound... There's a lot of straight
girls. Spin the bottle. Yeah.
There's a lot of straight people.
It could be a joke. Who knows? But I'll have to look at that in context. But, yeah, so... The other characters that we've been neglecting, Chase, he's a straight white guy, he's a jock, you know what I mean? He works out a lot, but he does have some levels to him. The reason that he works out a lot and gets super jacked and shit like that is because his dad is physically abusive and he wants to be able to fight back, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. And then he also ends up being, like, really smart. Like, he's, like, really good at engineering, and he can, like, make really cool shit, and that's where his usefulness kind of comes in, because he has, like, a very powerful tool. He's a lacrosse. powerful tool
makes sense.
Is the show based in Canada?
No,
LA.
Yeah, it's based in Los Angeles.
Well, I just saw him, he plays lacrosse, so
that's
like,
yeah, he's a that's jock for LA, I guess. So she, yeah, the Chase and Gert kind of end up in a weird, you know, opposites attract situation, if you will. But Chase's character, I mean, he has his ups and downs in the show, because he does, like, save Carolina from that sticky situation where she's about to get, like, abused by some douchebags at a party.
Shout out to Chase for being, like,
A generally good person.
A generally human, decent person. Like,
right. And then he doesn't tell her either... Which, you know, everybody can have their own opinion on that, but he doesn't want her to know what almost happened. He doesn't want to hurt her.
It's pretty traumatic.
And then the other character she's the youngest of the group. In the comic book series, she's, like, way younger or acts a lot less mature, but in the TV series, she's a little, like, closer to their age, is Molly Hernandez. Molly Hernandez and Gert both... in the TV series get adopted by, like, really white nerdy people that are in the Pride organization, whereas in the TV show they both have their biological parents. So that's changed. But Molly, like, they kind of parallel.
I don't mind changes like that,
so. You don't? It makes sense in the TV series, but the reason that she's relevant to, like, the Runaways series and, like, relatable to teenagers and stuff like that is because they parallel her going through puberty with her going through changes with her body where she ends up getting superhuman strength.
Yeah, it's badass. She's also amazing.
Yeah, she's really fucking cool. But the thing is that every single time she uses her super strength, she, like, falls asleep. she's so tired.
Yeah, right. She's tired afterwards. I love it.
But I do like her. I think her character, like, is, like, the unproblematic fave. Like, she's great.
Mm-hmm. She's so unproblematic. Yeah, she's kind of like everyone's little sister, and she's just kind of like...
Even Chase says it, like, because everybody's like arguing with each other at one point.
They're all talking about what they hate about each other.
Yeah, they're all talking shit about each other, and then Chase is just like, well, Molly sucks, and then he's like, I just have nobody to talk shit
about.
She's
like, I'm sorry, you're actually amazing.
Yeah, you're actually really cool. I have no problem with you,
Molly. Yeah, I have no problem with you. You're great.
So she's just like she's the laid back one.
She's just going through her own thing, and she's like not hurting anybody except for the bad guys.
Because she's super strong.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess real quickly we can kind of get into their powers or contribution to the group. Mm-hmm. Molly obviously has super human strength. Carolina's an alien who can fly and blast
light
people.
Powers, yeah.
And she kind of like tried to sacrifice herself for the rest of the team, which was really fucking noble.
She's probably the most powerful one.
Probably.
Yeah.
Nico,
you can fly.
But Nico can get there too, because what Nico has is like kind of a hereditary.
She's a witch, isn't she?
Yeah, her parents have like this like
staff
thing that can do all kinds of crazy shit, and she can use it too because she has the right DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But it, potentially, she could be the most powerful one if she learned how to use it.
Magic are always going
to
be. Like,
she has to just learn how to use
they can
that.
Do whatever. As long as they can do whatever they want, really.
Right, and then Chase, like I said, his dad was an engineer, and he's an engineer, so he has super strong like fist thing that he uses.
Yeah,
fisticuffs. He's like he's the technology dude.
Right.
Yeah, he's the tech guy. No, because that's what Alex is, right?
Yeah, Alex is like the strategic one. Like, he makes the plan.
But he's the tech guy.
He's like
too.
A leader. He's not really. Well,
he's tech-ish.
Yes, he is.
They added that in. He can hack into shit. But really, he just knows the password. Like, that's it. He happens to know the password. And then the last one would be Gert. What Gert got was like basically.
Oh my god, the dinosaur.
She got a dinosaur that listens to her every command.
Her dog, basically. I love that shit. It's like a really big giant dog.
I was just reading about her. Apparently, it's like a telekinetic link, so, like, mm-hmm. they're, like...
Yeah, like, she doesn't even have to say it out loud. She can just think to that animal, like, hey, attack
this.
And he'll
do whatever she responds.
But that ends up being a really cute storyline, too, because you know how people in real life, they have,
It's a dog?
No, it's, like, her giant dog, but it's not.
It's a dinosaur. They use it the way that, you know, in real life, people that have anxiety and stuff like that, they have the dogs that they have with them.
Emotional support animals.
Right. So that's how she kind of uses the dinosaur. Like, she has anxiety. Like, they run away, and she doesn't have her medication for her anxiety. So the dinosaur has been helping with that, and she has to put her dinosaur away because it makes attracts a lot of attention.
Yeah,
because
it's
a
dinosaur.
Yeah, it's not huge. Like, it's the size of a human or so, but
it's
still.
Like a raptor.
Yeah, it's like a raptor. Yeah.
Right. So I like that they brought in mental health, even though it was at the end. But they could bring that up as a big storyline in season 2. I think that would be really fucking awesome. We don't talk about mental health enough. Especially not in, like, a POC perspective.
How long are the episodes?
They're, like, 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, full-length episodes.
That's enough time.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, when you have so many characters, it can get really hard to, like, develop the story or develop the characters.
Yeah, they make enough time for it.
I feel like they do that. Yeah, because I feel like every episode is about a different, like, runaway.
Mm-hmm.
So it like gives like, kind of how Skins did it. You know how Skins would have like so many characters, but every episode would be about a different character, and at the end they brought it together. Mm-hmm. They kind of did
to that extent.
It wasn't to that extent, mm-hmm. but like when they were introducing people, they maybe did like an episode about like two or three of them at the same time, and then they wouldn't really talk about Molly, and then the next episode would
obviously
center on Molly.
Can't like have all six of them in there, but they definitely did do like at least three of them
at a time.
And all of them were in every episode, when Molly gets sent
my
away.
My only qualm with it is that I didn't really care about their family, about their
about
parents.
Yeah, they always make that mistake. Like, Riverdale made that mistake. They concentrated too heavily on the parents. It's like, this is a show about the runaways, guys. But their parents do have a really complicated storyline, and their parents are the whole reason that they are together in the first place. Their parents forced them to grow up together because they had their pride organization.
But how does, like... how many is it? 5 or 6 of them?
6.
How does 6 completely different people come together like that?
And then they all have the kids in the exact same grade.
Mm-hmm.
In the comic book series, I don't know if this is how they're gonna take it, but in the comic book series, they all get, I guess they get chosen by the Gaborim, which is where the Church of Gobarine thing ties in. They get chosen by these like alien forces to come together as a team and change the outcome of the world or something like that, because they're in the future or something. So they tell them, because they have to pass on that role of changing the world to fit the Gaborim's needs to their children, so they make them all have kids at the same time, which is why the adoption thing might get a little tricky in season two. But they're all supposed to have only one kid and at the same time, and they're supposed to be together at least once a year for a pride meeting. And yeah, so that's how it's explained in the comics. It's not explained yet in the series, so they could be saving that. They could change that's it. Cool. You never know. Because it
sounds good.
Because the Gaborim, like,
I just could be, who knows? Like a hero's turn. You remember Heroes?
Oh, it just went horribly wrong.
Yeah. Oh, God. That first season was fire, though.
It was. It was fire, but then it's like...
That went queer, too.
Kind of, it was just like...
Yes, I do remember. Hayden Panettiere. The story?
The story just never, like, got there. I'm just like, okay, so we've been talking about... We've been talking about the same thing for, like, a season already. When are we going to get to it? Because it's, like, it's almost like they're always, they're walking towards the door, but they never get to open the fucking door.
And I get wanting people, to, like, to keep people interested and, like, leaving something for you to hold on to, but you have to still give a little.
Yeah, it wasn't deep enough to where you couldn't solve this in, like, the span of a few episodes.
There wasn't enough layers there.
Yeah.
I loved Heroes. Oh, yeah, that's a good. You bring up a good point.
Oh, Heroes is also queer, and that Hayden Panettiere storyline was weird, but I was into it because I was like, queer representation. Lit. It was one of my favorite shows.
It was so.
And she had a lot of parallels to Rogue too, because she had every single power. So I was like, Rogue.
That was You know what? I want to rewatch Heroes now.
She did.
I have the first season. If you
remember,
it.
She like well, she could just heal
at first.
She could first. She was like Wolverine, and then she could literally do anything after that. Remember?
No. I thought it was Peter, the one of the brothers. He could like,
he's
around people and he take their power, not by touch, but it was like
he would absorb
just,
them.
Yeah, just by being in the vicinity.
Yeah, Hayden. I just remember her being able to heal.
I was like, girl, you need to get you a gun or something.
So Hayden was just like Wolverine.
Yeah, without the metal claws.
Without the metal claws. Yeah,
I can't remember for sure. Don't quote me on that. That was a good series.
But I remember Siler being like, because at first it kind of started off like a scary movie that was with superheroes. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I kind of like this. And then it just went downhill.
Yeah. You know what it reminds me of? A better way to put it is Sensei reminded me of Heroes.
I still haven't watched season two.
Because they were like characters from all over the world who came together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was hearing on Viva La Round Girls. They made me kind of want to listen. And they made me want to watch it. Because I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know it was like that and cool and intense.
No, Sensei was a great premise. I just don't know exactly what happened. Maybe it's something behind the scenes that took place that caused it to not...
It confused me.
It got confusing?
For me, but a lot of people loved that show. I need to watch it.
Because even if season one, I feel like they kind of became too cool too fast. Like, it was kind of like because...
Well, they were, like, connected, though,
Well, they were all connected, yeah, but it was kind of like... Some of them seemed like they realized their connection sooner than others. And then at one point, they're all together. It's like, but you never had, like, a scene with this person. So, like, how are you just now, like, cool about this now? Like, it's
kinda, right. Yeah, no, since it, like I said, I haven't finished it because I haven't gotten into it.
But I like the first one. It was cool, especially since, like, they can share each other's abilities, kind of. Because all of them were kind of, like, good at something.
Yeah, like, they're, like, they borrowed from each other, basically.
Yeah, there's like, okay, so you know how to, like, you know chemistry. Girl, we're going to make you, like... I'm gonna make a bomb real quick.
Wow. Yeah.
Or one chick, she was like a underground fighter. So like she will like, they'll like be like, take her to like beat people up.
One of them was like a kind of a con man. Like he could like break into anything.
Mm-hmm. And then the one guy.
What could the Indian girl do?
She was a chemist.
She was a chemist?
Yeah, she was going for pharmacy.
Oh.
But she was the one who can put like all of. She knew how to make.
I only watched four episodes. Explosive.
Yeah, we really need to watch that shit.
I watched the whole first season.
We'll do an episode on it eventually.
I mean, it was cool. The black dude knew how to drive really well.
Right,
one guy's a cop. He seemed like he was pretty much the main character.
He was like the Alex guy, where he doesn't have a special ability per se, but he like was the leader of sorts.
Yeah. And then one girl, she was a DJ. I don't know exactly what the fuck she did.
She got the soundtrack going.
She started the music. Shout out to that.
Maybe she just had connections.
Yeah, I mean, I know the
because she was famous, wasn't she?
The Latino
she
dude,
was famous.
The Latino dude was like the actor, so he knew.
He was also famous.
He knew how to. He was cute too. He knew how to, like, you know, I guess get. He knew how to play the part when needed. I guess if that makes
okay.
sense.
I gotta see this. I love it when it's teamwork like that. I just you have to get me in the first 3 episodes, and it didn't.
So. I watched 5 minutes and was like, oh, I'm going to do something else.
Mm. I watched the whole first season. I didn't watch the second season.
And then they're having like some sort of special ending because everybody was mad that it got canceled.
Well, I was kind of like, I'm one of those people that's like, I know the black dude left.
Because he was homophobic?
Yeah, but it was kind of like.
I've told you about this.
Yeah,
on
I know.
An episode,
and I
yeah.
still feel the same. They had orgies. Like, come on.
That's why he left.
But I was kind of like, now is this new person? You can't aunt Viv us. You
but
know
no,
what I mean?
But they acknowledged like, it, right?
Yeah, they don't. Like, they make a joke about it.
Yeah, they're like, you look different.
Yeah, oh.
Like,
oh,
like, wow. I mean, look different, but I'm the same inside. Right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's probably
yeah,
why
they make a joke out of it. Yeah. No, that's not why.
No, because you know how they had light skin on, they had dark skin on Viv, and then, like, light skin on Viv.
Yes, light skin on Viv.
And then oh it was kind of like, everybody was kind of like, you cannot do this. This
like, is... bitch, at least stick to the same tone.
Like, give me the same. Because dark and Viv was everything. I don't care what nobody says.
I really preferred her. Yeah. She talked a lot more. She had more acting, like, active role.
And she was, like, she was a mother that worked hard, and she had a lot of wisdom. And she'll fuck you up if you tried her. Like, she was everything.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. That's like New York. okay. I guess let's briefly cover Carolina and Nico, since that's kind of one of the big important parts to us for yeah. obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons. We have to talk about
yeah, so Carolina ends up actually making a move because these teenagers are always in a near-death situation. And at this point, Nico's pissed off at Alex, so... like she goes with Carolina to go find Chase and Gert, who are hooking up.
Shout out to that.
And she finds Nico instead, and she goes for it.
Yo, shout out to like her going for it. Like she was like, because they thought like the world was gonna end. I mean, a lot happened that night, so she went for it. She's like, fuck it, I've always wanted to kiss you, and she just did it. And I was like,
she's like, I want you to know, like, in case anything happens.
In case we die, I just want to know that, I want you to know I have a thing for you.
And I
she
like,
totally kissed her back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like that, like, she kisses her, and then, like, it was very similar to the One Day at a Time one, now that I think about it, mm-hmm. where she, like, tests the waters, and then, like, Nico kisses her. Like, she's the one that goes for it the second time. Mm-hmm. Just like Sid goes for it the second time. So I really like that, because it's, like, consent all the way, kind of.
Yeah, because, like, she went in, but Nico also did, too.
Yeah, Nico didn't stop her, and then, like, Nico
went for it. Yeah.
And then...
Consent is always great.
Yes.
And
super
then
attractive.
They don't just brush it off as, like, a one-time thing, like, I thought it was the end of the world thing. Like, Nico then, like, is really adamant about protecting Carolina and going back for Carolina, and then she makes the first move later in the series.
Oh my god, that last episode when she saw her after, like, they went through this entire, like, let's save my girlfriend thing, but
yeah.
not really my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then she, like, sees her and she's like, damn, girl, I almost lost you. And,
she's like,
she's like
some people
her.
Wanted to leave you behind. And she's like, not you, though. She's like, not me.
Oh my god, I'm blushing. That's so cute.
It was really cute. I'm glad that they didn't brush it off that way, because in the, like I said, in the comic series, it was very much all one-sided.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just like Carolina. Yeah, like it seemed, they made it seem like only Carolina had a thing for Nico, and Nico was just kind of like, but I don't love you. I might have like used like, you, but like, I don't love you. And it's like, that's bullshit.
Nico and Alex are the main couple in
the comic
series.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were going to go for it, though.
I didn't. I did not
remember,
expect it.
You didn't
it.
Believe me, because you were like, nah, you're making this up from the internet again. I was like, no, I'm right
like,
this
I
time.
Knew Carolina was gay.
I didn't want to put her as, like, a bi character, mm-hmm. and but then still stay true to the story and when she ended up dating Alex. Oh, that sounds...
Well, because her and Alex have a thing at the beginning of the series, and then she gets pissed off at Alex. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, her connection with Carolina always seemed more genuine.
Yeah, remember when they saw each other in the bathroom, like, their first scene together was,
yeah.
like... like Carolina was crying and Nico came out, or Nico was crying.
They were both crying.
They were both like,
they were both crying.
They had this like really like visceral reaction to each other, and I was just like, whoa.
Anytime they were alone in any scene, and there was at least four of them, it was like, it was intense.
It was like they were talking to each other only.
Yeah. So I like,
and all the lesbians love that shit. We saw that. We're like,
yeah. Oh yeah, we love that slow burn bullshit. It was good.
I'm gonna watch it again.
Right? Just, yeah.
It was done so well.
Mm-hmm. You should watch it, Cardarian.
Also, Gert. I love Gert.
Well, I gotta have... when I decide to go Hulu, I will watch it. Yeah.
I hope Gert, like, progresses. Because she's, like, the SJW character, but she's also problematic in the way that she treats other people. So I hope that
very judgmental and...
Yeah, like, she would be, like... She would say cool shit like, oh, fuck that heteronormative bullshit. But then she would also antagonize and be mean to Carolina just because Chase liked her. Like, mean to her, not to him, you know?
And she would kind of call her out on her religion, but it's like, yo, if you really are who you say you are, you're going to respect other people's religions.
And she called her out on her sexuality, too.
Yeah.
She was just like, oh, you should do this within that. I know that you like Nico and shit like that. Like... Don't do that. Don't out people.
Yeah. Even if, like, if they're not ready, they're not ready. But she was like, oh, because you're in love with Nico, right? And she's like, bitch.
I just had a higher expectation for Gert, and that might be the problem. There's
people, they're like, they have good intentions, but they don't live the life, so they don't know how to handle or talk
about it. Yeah, they're just like, oh, I think this is okay, therefore...
Like, you need to, like, be out and probably, like, not that easy, bitch, because like, I gotta walk in this, like, every day, right. I gotta wake up with this. You get to just... You know, be supportive, but you don't have to actually go through it.
Yeah, that's why it's LGBTQIA and the A is not ally, it's asexual.
Shout out to that.
Oh, God. I'm glad you joined us for this, Cordarian. People fucking loved you from that one episode.
What? I'm horrible.
Shut up. No, you're not.
You just see the face like I made while you said that. I was like, what? Don't say that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, guys. I will love to come by anytime.
Yes, fly to LA.
I don't know. I may do YouTube. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about YouTube/podcast-ish type things in the future.
If you do one, let's talk about SZA for an hour. Honestly, we do that every time we see each other. Let's just do that. Let's talk about SZA for an hour.
Yeah, but for the meantime, like, none of you can find him on social media. He doesn't exist on there.
I don't. I'm invisible.
Yeah.
You should get a Twitter.
No, he had, one.
I was mean as gay on Twitter.
We had so much fun on Twitter.
Good, you guys had really good names. She was queer bait and you were mean as gay?
Yeah.
What the fuck? You guys should have been like there. Twitter famous by now. Like, what the fuck? No. Especially your name.
No, it's always weird because like my first reaction to things is not to tweet about it.
What is it?
To do? It's like, to think about it and contemplate it and
like he lives his life
in my head.
Yeah.
I do that and then I tweet about it.
Yeah, but I forget about it.
Okay. I'm just attached to my phone. That's why I'm always on it.
Like, I'm the person, like, I'm just like, I see something, I'm like, I should Snapchat this. But then it's like already passed. So I'm just kind of like, well, I can't.
Like,
now.
You got over it?
You're like, I had to think about that for 3 days. And then, oh my God.
So I'm like really bad at social media, so I'm just like, let me just not do it. And not to mention, I'm kind of like turned off in a way because sometimes it's like a popularity contest type of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
It's really childish, and I'm kind of annoyed.
Yeah, like sometimes there's certain things that I want to say, but I'm just like, nobody gives a shit, so I don't say it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. I definitely start caring about what people give a shit about.
Oh, I don't. I still tweet nonsense.
I mean, I wouldn't too much, but...
I still talk about like what I ate on Twitter. Like, I give no fucks.
Like, if unless I find a funny way to put it. Like,
no, I really don't think about things that maybe I should, but I don't feel like I'm problematic because I'm literally just talking about my food sometimes.
Well, I'm not saying it's problematic. I'm just saying like
you don't want to waste your tweet, you know?
Yeah,
you
like I don't want people to be like
say dumb shit, right?
Like when somebody tweets about like, oh, I had a Diet Coke and then like I ate a burger. Like,
don't
I sit
at
there.
At me next time.
No, you don't do that. There's other people that I follow, and I don't want to like not like unfollow them for the shit. But sometimes I'm just gonna like, why did you tweet that? Like, who cares?
I'm not gonna unfollow you. I'm just not gonna like anything that you post.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I barely like stuff as it is.
And then there's like certain terminology. I was like, what is this? I feel so old. And I'm not old at all, but I felt
because
so
of Twitter, I am doing okay in that department. Otherwise, I would not know anything. Because
it was like RT, and I was like, "Is that retweet? That's retweet? Yeah. Okay." And I was like, "Okay."
Oh man, but it's changed now. I knew when you were on it because you're saying RT. I'm like, damn.
Back then, you had to have the whole name in the tweet.
I'm like an old dude with social media, and I'm in a generation where it came up. So like.
Yeah, we're on the cusp. You either fall into it or you don't.
Yeah, I should be better at that, but
it's okay.
Not to mention that people will like me or retweet something I say. I was like, should I say thank you?
No, you don't have to write a thank you note to them. It's not like they came to your party.
Common courtesy goes out the window here. It's good. That works for me because I. Thank you for, write them an email. Thank you for your like on these following tweets. I appreciate the RT.
They'll tweet you back. I remember one time it was just like, it was ask a question. It was just like,
you were on there a long time ago. When Twitter After Dark.
They were just kind of like, oh, what do you search the most? And I was just like, I think I put how to get drunk on a budget. And then someone tweeted me back and they said something. And then I said something, I'm just like, that got awkward.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel weird like that too, because they respond and it's just like, it's not like a back and forth conversation thing. It's just like, you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it feels rude to just like, so I get it. Yeah.
I don't know. I may come back, y'all. I don't know.
Tweet us if you want him to come back.
Tweet us. Let us know.
We're at CYC Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. We're now on Facebook, facebook.com/CYC Pod. That's it. And then
rate, review, subscribe. We love reviews. We love
reviews on Stitcher and on iTunes.
Also, get you a mighty swell.
Thank you. That's my favorite. That's what I drink every single time we record.
In peach.
Yeah.
Flavor.
Also,
color.
Y'all should pay us because I literally drink it every time I do this
Sponsor
podcast.
This show.
Speaking of, if you want extra episodes, extra content, shout outs, etc. that we offer, check out our Patreon. DM us if you have any recommendations. Email us at cycpodcastmail@gmail.com if you want to give us recommendations.
Every time she says DM, I think of dirty things.
Why?
Because everybody DMs are
like... Does everyone... my DMs have never been
I feel like... Seeing people talk about what happened.
I think that's only for
it's all about sex.
I think that's just for hot people.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, my DMs are what do you think of this podcast? That's it.
Not even. My friends and me just DM each other tweets.
I just think of nudes and
Never, sexual. Never. I've gotten one nude in my life. No, wait, two.
That stuff only happens to me on Snapchat and texting.
Texting is where the nudes come. Shout out to that.
Snapchat for a while was nude central.
It's still nude central.
Yeah,
what
there's
you
a whole porn Snapchat side.
There is?
Oh my god.
But you have to pay for that shit, don't you?
I don't know about all that.
I'm not paying.
Because every social media has the underside, so it's just this is what we normally, showcase, but then there's porn. Tumblr has a whole...
Oh, Tumblr.
Tumblr's horrible.
Tumblr's
porn.
Been porn.
Yeah.
I go on there for my conspiracy theories, but there's fucking porn when it pops up.
We'll talk about this off the podcast, thank you guys so much for listening. Tweet us a eggplant emoji if you're still listening.
Eggplant emoji.
And then put a peach next to it.
Call me by your name.
Oh, yes. That's exactly like a call me by your name thing.
God, okay.
Yeah.
So goodbye, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.